Welcome to Chip Chat, an interview series that connects you with technology experts around the issues that industry is focused on today. And now your host, Allison Klein.
Welcome back to Chip Chat. We're recording live from the OpenStack Summit in Paris. I'm Allison Klein, and I'm delighted to have Boris Rensky, co-founder and CMO of Mirantis, with us. Welcome, Boris.
Thank you, Allison. Good to be here.
So Mirantis is a huge name in terms of the OpenStack community. Why don't you just introduce the company, when you were founded and where you're at today?
Yeah, sure. So we've started out pretty much together with the birth of OpenStack, maybe a little bit after 2011, where we really kind of focused everything that we do on OpenStack. And we had a very peculiar kind of a view of the market. OpenStack just started to become noticed by the bigger folks at that time. And there was a lot of startups sprouting right and left. And most startups, they kind of took a view that OpenStack is basically a bunch of open code that they can leverage to ultimately build some sort of targeted solution to either compete with something like Amazon or compete with something like VMware or Microsoft or you name it. We kind of had a completely different vision. We saw OpenStack as this disruptive movement, and we said that OpenStack movement will fight the battle against the Amazon and the VMware and the Microsoft for us. What we need to do is find the right business model where anybody that has already bought into the OpenStack vision and decided that, yes, OpenStack is the right thing for me, will have Mirantis as the number one vendor in their mind. So with that kind of philosophy in mind, we're very peculiar with respect to how we evolved the company. So we looked at things like at the totality of things that you know, organizations would come to OpenStack for, and what would they pay money for. And the first thing during the very early stages of any open source project, but OpenStack in particular, that we're convinced people pay money for is just services.
Right.
The project is early. The players haven't kind of hashed themselves out. It's not clear who's going to stay, who's going to die. But it's an open platform. People want to take advantage of it. And it's a complex platform, so they need help in doing so. So the first iteration kind of company evolution, which was, I would say, 2011 to maybe 2013, was really focused on positioning ourselves as kind of the go-to company for OpenStack services. And as such, we were able to very quickly build a name for ourselves. We had some advantageous assets. We had protected pools of talent in Poland and Ukraine and Russia that were hard to get to for many of the venture-funded startups in the Silicon Valley. We could afford to use this talent to deliver services to the customers. And we've seen an enormous amount of growth and momentum just as a services company during the first 2 years. But we never really had an aspiration to just remain the services company. We understood that the ecosystem will evolve, and as OpenStack will become kind of big and will be used everywhere, services will naturally commoditize. So our long-term game was always to find a way to build a leveraged business model, which, you know, in open source, the way to do it is to have your own distribution and sell subscription. So about a year and a half ago, we've launched our distribution, which is Mirantis OpenStack. You know, the kind of interesting thing about it is, you know, there's a few interesting things about it. First is, unlike any other distributions, OpenStack distributions on the market, we, for the virtue of being kind of a pure play OpenStack vendor, focusing only on OpenStack, in figuring out what kind of configurations our distribution will encompass, we weren't encumbered by the existing portfolio of products that we had. So if you look at, for example, Canonical, they had Ubuntu, and they have Mass and Juju, and they had OpenStack as kind of a thing that weaves in there.
Right.
Red Hat, same exact thing. We looked at it completely different. So we just focus on OpenStack. We take a look at all the kind of usage repeatability patterns among our customers that we've engaged with through services, and we build our distribution based on that. Don't go from kind of here's a product we have and here's how we're going to evolve our distribution. Just look at how the customers use OpenStack. What are the use cases? What is the underlying host OS? What are the common deployment topologies? What is preferred hypervisor? What is preferred networking scheme? And basically codify those configurations inside of our distribution. And we've gradually evolved it. So we've started out just with services. Then we moved on to kind of a period where we come to the customer, they say, well, we want OpenStack like this and like that. We'd say, okay, well, we can build it like that for you with custom services, or we already have prepackaged bits that encompass 10 configurations that maybe slightly, you know, deviating from what you want. But if you subscribe to the standard distribution, you have the continuity story, the support story, and it's going to be much cheaper right out of the gate. Or we can still build you the custom thing. Mm-hmm. So a lot of customers still in the early days said, we want the custom thing. Forget the distribution. But many started to actually start, you know, buying into this mindset of, okay, mm-hmm. I need upgrades, I need supportability long term, and started buying distribution. So by the time we launched about a year and a half ago, we already had 20 subscription customers.
Nice.
So today, our kind of long term strategic focus is on naturally growing our subscription business. We still are continuing to invest in services. Another thing that we are very keen on is training that we've introduced, you know, mm-hmm. sometime in conjunction of services, training and certification of OpenStack. So to sum it up, we are today the largest kind of independent, what we like to call pure play OpenStack vendor. Three ways we make money. One is services, another one's training certification, and finally third, and the most important one for us as a company, is selling subscription to our Mirantis OpenStack distribution.
Now, Boris, you've been around since almost the beginning of the OpenStack community, and one of the things that's interesting is that every time we come back to the summit, there seems to be more and more providers of OpenStack solutions. What do you think sets Mirantis apart, and do you think that we're going to see kind of a consolidation of that market as we move forward?
Well, I think that and I won't necessarily agree that we see more and more. We see more and more of ecosystem providers, but the actual companies that offer OpenStack distribution or OpenStack services, this is probably the first summit where we have less of. Mm-hmm. Because during the last 6 months or so, the market has gone through a wave of consolidation. And this is the consolidation that I predicted would happen back last year. But basically, what happened, market has shaken out. And a lot of the kind of smaller startups got acqui-hired. Some of them got acquired. Some of them have just gone out of business and completely pivoted away from OpenStack. So today, the OpenStack distribution landscape looks very different than just 6 months ago. It's much cleaner. A lot of the smaller guys have gone away, either through acquisition or just pivoting away. We today have emerged as by far the largest kind of a breakaway independent leader that focused only on OpenStack. And, the traditional big guys are always present in this kind of market, like Red Hat or Canonical or HP, are really kind of the only guys that we are really competing with today.
So it's already started to happen.
Yeah.
When you look at the trend in the same time frame, what has changed inside of the conversations with enterprise in terms of their sophistication and what they're seeking to gain in their organizations through adoption of OpenStack?
Yeah, so, well, what has changed is that enterprises started actually paying attention to OpenStack.
Mm-hmm.
Like any open source new technology, OpenStack has gone through the natural evolution of first being kind of adopted by the tech-savvy guys, and then being adopted by less tech-savvy guys, and then finally getting adopted by more of a mainstream enterprise segment. So OpenStack been around for over 4 years now, but it's only really the last 12 months that enterprises started to look at OpenStack for doing anything serious. The buzz has kind of reached the critical mass. Now, as far as the use cases, this is an interesting question. So I think that the predominant use case for OpenStack in the enterprise that we see today is exactly identical to the use case, the original use case that OpenStack had when it was adopted by the large SaaS and web guys.
Mm-hmm.
And that use case is basically OpenStack as a data center-wide web server. So because, you know, if you think about it, what happened, you know, as we moved into kind of this e-commerce era, some of the big guys have evolved to deal with a very large data center scale and run very large sophisticated web properties at that scale. All of them have, you know, a lot of developers that are continuously building different services that basically are aimed to support their, you know, website in very plain terms, be it eBay, PayPal, WebEx, Workday, some of these guys that are the early adopters of OpenStack. Mm-hmm. Now, the interesting trend in the enterprise is that, in general, you know, kind of technology world is evolving, a lot of enterprises are undergoing transformation where they're becoming more and more of technology companies themselves. Mm-hmm. So companies in the financial services sector, like banking, where, you know, end user self-service is very important. It's very important for them to have a very robust and well-operating web property, mm-hmm. where they're, you know, like companies like Wells Fargo are effectively kind of competing with the likes of PayPal nowadays. If you go to the media sector, you know, yesterday it was all about, you know, videotapes and newspapers and magazines. Now it's all about web video and, you know, web content. Right. So all of the media companies are basically operators of large web properties. And you can keep going on and on with these examples. But the idea is that now that this is happening in the enterprise, and now that the you know, the large web guys like the Googles and the WebExes of the world have shown the standard for how to run the infrastructure, the enterprise guys want to do it the same way. And first, OpenStack, you know, became very common platform for the web SaaS guys, and now the enterprise is dealing with the same exact problems of managing large-scale web properties. They want to do it the same way, and OpenStack is the answer for them to do that. So, be it enterprise or, you know, the early stages of adoption in SaaS and web, the use case actually remains the same. It's just the difference is that the enterprise is more conservative, and they just started really using OpenStack for that use case during the last 12 months or so.
Now, you hit on the next question when you said the enterprise is more conservative.
Yep.
What is it like to work with an enterprise through this adoption cycle? And is it more a technology transition or a personnel transition in terms of the way they adopt OpenStack?
It's a combination of both. So typically the way it works is, you know, the enterprises have a lot of legacy, both in terms of technology and in terms of mindset. And you would have some kind of group inside that wants to do things the, you know, the Google way, and they're the proponents of doing the Google way in Wells Fargo or in, you know, Fidelity or something like that. They typically need to find the path of least resistance to teach the enterprise how to do things the Google way, how to operate their web properties the Google way. And this involves naturally, you know, just like internal selling and kind of just, you know, mindset transformation. But it's also very important to find the path of least resistance from the technology standpoint. So a good example of that is if you look at, you know, most of the enterprises, what they run as far as operations and IT is concerned is the VMware stack. This is pretty much, you know, majority of the enterprise cloud today that we call enterprise cloud is basically VMware. The only way in many instances to penetrate into the enterprise with OpenStack is to have some sort of story around OpenStack integration with VMware, which is something that we also realized a while ago, and we've partnered with VMware about a year ago. We've done a very robust out-of-the-box integration between Mirantis OpenStack and VMware. I'd argue that you know, Mirantis OpenStack integration with VMware is probably even tighter than the VMware's flavor of OpenStack. And today, you can literally take Mirantis OpenStack out of the box, go through kind of an intuitive installation wizard, configure how to connect your OpenStack environment to your vCenter environment, push the button, up and out of the box will work. And going this path enables you to not to go against the grain of, you know, this VMware mindset, but go with the grain. So you don't say, you know, take VMware, throw it away because it's, you know, the old stuff and the new stuff is all OpenStack. What you do is you layer OpenStack on top of VMware, and all of the VMware operators and users that are used to VMware stack are also getting exposed to OpenStack at the same time. So being able to go with the grain, with the existing technology stacks, is very important to the adoption of OpenStack and enterprise today.
Sure, that makes a lot of sense. I know that you guys work with a lot of telcos as well.
Yes.
And obviously a major opportunity there. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes. So this is definitely a very big opportunity. It's different than the web SaaS and enterprise use case. It's similar in some ways, but it's largely different. So OpenStack in telco today is all about NFV, which is network function virtualization. So the telcos today are undergoing kind of an interesting transformation where kind of hardware plane of the networking side of things that they use is going for a certain disaggregation between actually the physical hardware and the logic that historically has been embedded in it. So in very plain terms, historically, telcos would engage with, you know, large telco providers like, you know, Cisco or Ericsson or Huawei that will ship very expensive pre-integrated boxes that will do, you know, layer 2 for layer 7 networking for, at telco scale. These boxes are not horizontally scalable. So if you need more capacity, you physically need to buy a new box. And the box is expensive, a box breaks down, so many problems with it. So this new transformation around NFV is all about this disaggregation, where instead of using the box, you actually take commodity x86 gear, or maybe you work with somebody like Quanta, like an ODM like Quanta, where you tell them, I need specifically this kind of gear, right? And then you build your data center on complete commodity gear, and then on top of that, you overlay what, you know, one would refer to in the telco space as a virtual infrastructure manager, VIM, they call it, which is basically like a layer on top of a data center that responsible for the virtualization orchestration.
Right.
And inside the virtual machines then that run on top of that virtualization layer, you encapsulate different network functions. So you would have like a virtual switch or a virtual firewall or a virtual VPN service. And with this fashion, not only is it cheaper because you're running commodity hardware while taking advantage of all this software innovation that is happening, that is done by many different providers, you can also spin up different network functions on demand, right? So going back to this example, you can go to AT&T, for instance, go to their website and say that, okay, I need to create a VPN between my data center and AT&T here and data center and AT&T there. And you literally just go through the portal and, you know, push the buttons and the stuff happens. And on the back end, what happens is, you know, OpenStack would spin up a VM inside of which there will be a VPN appliance, and it will create the tunnel for you. So this degree of end-user self-service and end-user automation is another very important thing that is being enabled by OpenStack in the telco space. So that's kind of a summary of the use case.
Telco industry tends to be even more conservative than enterprise IT. So what is the business driver, do you think, that's making them consider an open-source solution?
I think that in all honesty, the use case, I agree that telcos are more conservative. On the other side, I would argue that probably the use case for OpenStack, which is the one that I've just described, for telco space, is more valuable and more kind of you know, it penetrates on more of an immediate need than with the enterprise, because this NFV transformation in telco, it's very profound, whereas enterprises transforming into technology companies is a slower process and it doesn't span all kinds of enterprises. But if you look at carriers and like carrier side of telcos, the NFV thing is very profound across the board and everybody's accepted that this is the way to do things. So on one hand, they tend to be more conservative. On the other hand, they're undergoing a much more profound and faster transformation with this NFV kind of a cycle than the enterprises with, you know, our website's now important to us cycle.
So Boris, I know that we've got a limited time left. I just have one more question for you. In terms of Mirantis' focus at this show, what is the key thing that you're trying to get across to the community and to customers?
Well, I think that the important thing for us going forward is to further foster the adoption of our distribution. And we understand that the way to do it is, you know, naturally you have to build a good product that works and, you know, caters to the operators. But what you also want to do is you want to enable the end user tenants. And these tenants can be either developers or it can be some particular workloads that run on your distribution. So what we've been doing recently is piloting kind of an interesting program, which is we call it Mirantis OpenStack Express. It's an on-demand hosted version of our distribution. And some people take it wrong in the sense that they see, like, okay, well, you're competing with Amazon or service providers. That's not at all what we're trying to do. What we're trying to do is give a vehicle either to developers or to companies that write workloads that are likely, like, that need to take advantage of a distributed infrastructure and that want to run on OpenStack, a sandbox to effectively get in and quickly try and adopt specifically our flavor of distribution. So we're working with guys like Cloud Foundry, for instance, mm-hmm. or Docker, or different companies that do you know, innovative stuff in the networking space, like Avi Networks, who have an announcement, whom all are basically taking their solutions and are putting them on Mirantis OpenStack Express so mm-hmm. that organizations can quickly come and say, okay, this is what, you know, Cloud Foundry on Mirantis OpenStack on-prem would look like, but I don't want to do an expensive POC to actually install it. I just go to Mirantis OpenStack Express right away, push the button, and I get the same exact experience that I would on-prem.
Sure.
And kind of driving this adoption around the things that don't just plug in under OpenStack, but plug in from on top or run on top is kind of the next wave that we're looking towards.
Very cool. Well, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to join us on Chip Chat. We hope to have you back on the program again soon.
All right. Thank you very much. It was a pleasure.
Visit Chip Chat online at intel.com/chipchat. And for more information on data center technologies, visit intel.com/bigdata, intel.com/cloud, and intel.com/datacenteroptimization.